Welcome to What a Creep, the show with Margot Donahue and Sonia Mansfield talking about creeps from the past to the present.
This is your quick guide to the biggest creeps, jerks, assholes, and losers, the best of the worst.
From two nice ladies who want the world to be a little less creepy.
Welcome back to What a Creep. This is Margot Donahue, and my cohort in creepitude, as always, is the amazing Sonia Mansfield. Hey, Sonia.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, my friend. We have a special creep today who's not rapey and not murdery. So,
yay!
We decided to take a break and just go for an old-fashioned louse. Just a real asshole today. But before we get to that, let me just let you go. You can follow us on social media. We have a basic Facebook page that we rarely check because that's where people go to complain about our salty language. This also is the moment for me to tell you we use salty language. So if you have a problem with that, you're not going to want to listen to the show. Just saying. We also have a private Facebook group. That's where we're the most interactive. You do have to answer three little questions before you come in, but come on in when you do. And it's a nice place to hang out. We weed out the shitheads.
Yeah.
We are on Twitter at CreepPod because somebody had What a Creep on Twitter for 10 years and never used it.
Creep.
We have Instagram, What a Creep Podcast, and we have an old-timey email, whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. All of those places, you can reach out to us to give us your suggestions for creeps, but also non-creeps. And in case this is your first time listening, we always end the show with somebody who's a non-creep just to give you a little more joy in your life. And boy, could we all use that right now.
Fact. Factual statement.
100.
There's also our website at whatacreeppodcast.com where you can find everything you ever wanted to know about our podcast, but were afraid to ask. And it's got a link to our merch shop if you would like a shirt or a mask or tote bags. They have all the things with our logo on it, our adorable logo, everybody drink. And I could testify the masks and the shirts, very comfy.
And people have been buying them lately. And if you could take a picture of yourself, we'd love to use it in our newsletter that Sonia is sending out every month.
It went out. It went out on the 1st.
Check your spam folders.
Yes, please. I see that some of y'all have opened it. So that's great. It goes out to all your Patreon members. So thank you for that. And I promise the newsletter will come out every month.
And
for reals.
For realsies. And we also want to say, if you want to support the show, we do have a Patreon page. We have some very affordable options. And I want to thank Anne, Stephanie, and Courtney. They all joined the Patreon page since the last time we checked in. We appreciate y'all. It just helps us keep the lights on and, you know, pay for the books and all the things that we have to do to prep for the show. And also a great way to help out, you know, if money's tight, we totally get it. We're not Rockefellers here. We totally get it. Just leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts, especially in iTunes. I'd like to thank Star Trist, Margot the Racehorse, and Kelly Blue for leaving us 5-star reviews in iTunes. We totally appreciate that. Or just tell a friend about the show. Or send us an email with your address and we'll drop a couple of stickers in the mail.
Yeah.
Put that on your laptop or whatever and show your pride. Your What a Creep pride, around the world. We super appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you, everybody.
Today's creep was the subject of a Showtime documentary. I don't get Showtime. I refuse. I don't know why. That's a line I won't cross, but it just
I also don't have Showtime. So I watched this on Amazon Prime. I think I rented it or maybe I bought it. Because, you know, I'll want to watch this over and over.
Sonia, tell them about our creep today.
Yes, we are going to be talking about Richard Scott Smith. He is the subject of the documentary called Love Fraud. And he has been married at least 10 times, sometimes to women at the same time. And he's preyed on dozens more. My sources for this episode include the documentary series Love Fraud, the website Scott the Crook. more on that in a moment. Vanity Fair, Oprah Daily, Cinemaholic, Oxygen, Refinery 29, USA Today, Vox, Vulture, and of course, Wikipedia, unofficial sponsor of our show. Trigger warnings are gaslighting, and there is some domestic violence. I did research on this because we wanted somebody who, we were tired of all the sexual assault and murder. And so I just found us a real fucking creep who just robs women. Here's the deal. This guy, Richard Scott Smith, will meet middle-aged women, usually on a dating app. He love bombs them, and then he drains them of all their cash, and he moves on. He has swindled probably more than $1 million from these women, and I realize that doesn't sound like a lot, but these aren't wealthy women.
Right.
You know, they're we're talking about regular people here. They're women in their 30s and 40s. They are working regular 9-to-5 jobs, you know, office jobs, hairstylists, things like that. Some of them have kids and they're lonely, you know, and he took advantage of that and he manipulates them and he takes what little money they have and leaves them with massive debt. So let's start at he's the worst. Let's start at the beginning. Because Richard Scott Smith is a serial liar, it's kind of hard to get the truth about how he started all of this and what his upbringing was like. But what we do know is he had like a really abusive mother, because if it's not one thing,
it's your mother.
It's your mother. So he lived with his grandparents until he was 9. And then when he turned 9, his mother showed up and she took off with him, and she did not keep in contact with anybody. No telephone numbers, no forwarding addresses. So there's not a lot known about like his childhood, but the documentary was able to talk to some of his friends from high school. And they said that Smith dropped out of high school in his junior year. And even by then, he was already like manipulating women, that he would always lie to them. He loved to date like multiple women at the same time. And one of the friends said he thought it would be cool to see how many girls he could date at the same time and not get caught. So he started pretty young, and, you know, high school boys, whatever. But this is when he started his pattern. And the truth is, you would look at a photo of this guy, of Richard Scott Smith, and you'd be like, okay, like he's not special. He's not Brad Pitt. You know, he's mediocre at best, but he's not totally disgusting. And it's weird because it's someone who will just lie to your face. And I don't think we know how to deal with people who just lie to our face.
Yeah.
He has a few different names he likes to use. He goes by Rick or Scott or Mickey. And he changes his personality to match his latest love interest. So if you're religious, he's religious. If you're a cook, he loves to cook. If you have a motorcycle, he has a motorcycle. And these women would meet him for a date, and he would appear to be this really great catch. We're into the same things. I love listening to you. You know, I'll help you solve your problems. And then he just leaves them like these insane, like love-filled voicemails.
You're a goth? I'm a goth. All of a sudden he changes it to Robert Smith.
It's basically exactly what he does. I love all that music too.
Dyes his hair really quickly.
He totally does. That's his thing. You know, and he leaves them all these like voicemails, like, I love you. You know, it'd be like one date. You know, I love you. I'll do anything for you. I can't stand to be away from you.
Yeah, that's not needy or creepy.
Not at all. But some of these women were really lonely. And
yeah, I get
you want to feel, and you want to feel appreciated, right? And they would feel appreciated by him. So he would tell many of these women that he was waiting to receive this like multi-million-dollar medical malpractice settlement.
Was Tom Girardi his attorney?
Seriously.
That's a Real Housewives of Beverly Hills joke, y'all.
Yeah.
Talk about lying.
Come here for the creeps, stay for the Real Housewives jokes.
It all goes back to Bravo, y'all.
Yes. He would tell these women he's going to get this huge settlement and that they're all going to be rich and they're going to live on Easy Street. He told one of these women that he would pay for her son to go to college. He told another one he's going to buy a house in Belize, you know, and usually after a few weeks of dating, Smith would propose and in many cases, marry these women. They would say yes. And he would convince the women to like open joint checking accounts with him.
No.
Use their credit cards. Yeah, use their credit cards to buy cars and homes and start businesses. So here's just a few of the stories. Lisa Lenton and Richard met and tied the knot in Georgia. And in just a few months, she started getting hesitant about his, let's say, manipulative nature. She was smart enough to like block him from her money, which was really smart. But she didn't believe him when he said he wasn't like married to other people before and that he wasn't seeing other people. And he did like get some money. He got some money from her, but not a ton of money, but enough for her to start the blog, Scott the Crook.
Good for her.
Yeah. So she started this blog that would bring many of the victims together and share their stories and help track him down. So you're going to keep hearing about this blog called Scott the Crook.
Was she at the blogger conventions? Remember those?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe she was. But it worked. So she kind of kicked this all off. Then there's Holly Koch. She met Richard in 2014 on a dating site. And after 2 months of dating, she agreed to go into business with him. Mm. And the business was called, and it's the most generic fucking name, Prestige Corporate Living.
I was going to say, do we cheat him and how? It's an old, old timey joke there that my mom would always use.
This is supposedly this was to provide corporate housing for professionals. I don't know how you would prove you're a professional, but whatever. Anyway, they moved in together. They made plans to get married and she gave him all her money.
Oh,
and he spent thousands of dollars using a company credit card with her name on it. And he left her with the bill. She actually sued him for $90,000 and won. But he never paid her a dime. Still. Yeah, he's such an asshole. Gene Hansen met him at a singles group and they flew to Vegas and they got married. And this was in August 2015. She also agreed to join his quote unquote business, Prestige Corporate Living. And he left her so broke that she had to borrow money just so she could file for bankruptcy.
Oh, man.
She lost her house. And her car, and it's all because of the debt that he created in her name.
Jeez.
And then she was Googling like this guy, and she came across Lisa's blog, and that's how she learned that he was already married. So she was able to get an annulment.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, I did want to mention this too. So if you go to Facebook and you type in Prestige Corporate Living, some of the women managed to get that page before he did. And it's like you go to it and it's all about what a gross crook he is. So good for them. There's another woman named Michelle. Some of these women didn't share their last names for obvious reasons. So just FYI. Michelle was in this really unhappy marriage and she met Scott and he like gave her a shoulder to cry on and convinced her that she deserved to be happy and that she should leave her husband for him. And she said at their wedding, he got her trashed, like just drunk, like kept giving her shots over and over. At one point, he told a friend of hers, like, she's really drunk. I'm going to take her outside so she can get some air. And then as she tried to like leave, like out the door with him, he like slammed the door in her face.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And she fell back and she hit her head on a fire extinguisher and she blacked out. And she said when she woke up, her dress was just covered in blood and she had to go to the ER and she got 5 staples in her head.
Oh,
this was all
God.
On her wedding night.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
Was he trying to kill her?
Maybe. There's a couple of women here that he didn't. Some of the women, it wasn't about the money. It was about controlling them. And yeah, I don't know if he was trying to kill her. I don't know if there was like a life insurance policy involved, but yeah, it was kind of fucked up. And she said that after that, it got worse, that he would threaten to hurt her kids because she had kids from her previous marriage and that he was super controlling. She said that he would leave for work at 8:25 in the morning, and he would call her at 8:30 from the road asking her what she was doing.
Oh, for God's sakes.
And if she didn't answer the phone, he would come back home. And she said that she would like be in the shower or something and like step out of the shower, and he would just be standing there like and yell at her because she didn't answer her phone.
Oh, an asshole.
He's such an asshole. He was always trying to control her, keep her from talking to like her mom and even her kids. And he put a tracker on her phone. And eventually she worked up the courage and to leave him. She packed up her kids and her dog and she left. And like I said, he didn't take any money from her, but he was trying to control her and he was abusive.
What an asshole.
This dude fucking sucks.
That always makes me think of Swimming with Sharks, you know, that Kevin Spacey movie where he's like the evil, he's Scott Rudin, basically. That's who they're lampooning. But he would like yell at Frank Wally, pick up, pick up, pick up. He was constantly, ugh.
Yeah. No, this guy's a real piece of work. Another woman named Sabrina Dunlap, she worked as a hairstylist and he was her customer. And he asked her out a few times and she finally said yes. And he just love bombed her and treated her so well. And she thought she'd hit the jackpot. And he even went so far as to like get a tattoo of her name on his body. She was like, oh my gosh, he loves me so much that he got a tattoo. But now she looks back on it and she's like, oh, this, he was creating an alibi for himself. It was like part of an alibi because he then took out a $250,000 life insurance policy on her.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden he had this desire to go on a cruise. And she was like, what? And it turned out the cruise didn't happen. Like he got sick. And so they weren't able to like make it happen or something. And she's like, but I look back now and I honestly believe he was going to throw me off the boat. And to prove to my family and probably the police, say, oh, no, I loved her. See, her name is tattooed on me. She thinks that he did it all just to like get the money. Yeah. So she left him in October 2016. And this is after she learned from her dad and her brother-in-law that he was telling them that she was the one spending all this money. And she hadn't spent any money. And then she found out he was using her credit cards to pay his medical bills. And her mother was contacted through LinkedIn by one of his wives on LinkedIn. Thanks, LinkedIn. I'm sure he was endorsed, you know, for his skills and being a lying bigamist or something. He had also gotten a credit card with her name and he used it to buy two cars. He took out like cable service and like four different Kansas City apartments. He got about $100,000 from her.
Jesus.
Which once again, like in the grand scheme of things, doesn't sound like a lot, but it sounds like a lot to me.
To me, I wouldn't sneeze at it. I mean,
no.
This is
debt that she is now she'll have to be responsible for it. That's a huge burden on people. Like when your wages start getting garnished, you know, it's fucked up what he did to these women. He met another woman, Carla, at a karaoke night. By the way, in Love Fraud, they interview Carla and there's like this repeated mention of how they met at karaoke nights and how much she loves to sing karaoke. And then they finally show her sing and it's not good. I was like, oh, Carla must be a really good singer and that's why she loves it so much. And then she sang and I was like, oh. I'm so sorry, Carla, but she's not very good. Anyway, he met at a karaoke night and he just made his move and he convinced her to leave her husband and drain his 401k. And then they used the money from her husband's 401k to open a restaurant called King Crabs. I'm sorry, Crab Kings. And it's with K. So it's like K-R-A-B, Crab Kings with a Z restaurant in Wichita.
Yikes.
And
the restaurant in Wichita.
I don't know, but it's so funny in the series when they talk about it and they interview employees and everyone got very excited that this like kind of almost like a fast food seafood restaurant was opening, and people were really fucking excited because I don't think there is, maybe there isn't a lot of seafood in Wichita.
I don't know. I was going to say.
It can't be fresh.
Yeah, no, it can't be. So where would you get it from?
I don't know. That is a good
question. That's a big red flag for me. You say, you know, Steaks Kings. I'm like, yeah.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
Burger.
So the restaurant opened and actually was doing pretty good at first because, like I said, people were excited, right? Seafood, I can afford it too. Yay. And so it was doing really well. And even though he was with Carla, he started pursuing a romantic relationship with one of the employees.
Of course.
He completely love bombs this employee. She plays all kinds of voicemails that he left her after one date. Like, I love you. Please call me. I need you. Blah, blah, blah. It's so gross. Eventually, Smith, he took all the money and left. All the employees' paychecks bounced. And he left Carla high and dry.
Ugh.
It is really, really fucked up.
Those poor people in Wichita. Where do they get the crabs now, Sonia?
Where are they going to? I know. Where are they going to get their frozen, thawed out
from a truck
crabs
24 hours ago?
It can't be good. No. I have to tell you, it didn't look good to me. And I'm a vegan, but I love crab. And I'm like, I don't want to eat that. It looks terrible. Another woman named Tracy, she dated him when he was going by Mickey. And they dated for 3 months in 2016. In those 3 months, they got engaged. And one of her kids got really suspicious. I wonder why. Mm-hmm. And she decided to search his truck. And she found like pill bottles with the labels removed, all this paperwork with different names. And then she searched the internet and she came across Lisa's website. And that's when Tracy learned that he had also bought a sports car in her name.
What does he do with all these cars?
I think he sells them because
wow.
he doesn't keep them anywhere. And that's one of the things that's really interesting about the documentary is like he steals just enough, not so much he becomes a priority for police.
Right, right, right.
But like enough to like move on to the next thing. I think he sells a lot of these cars. Another woman, he left with almost $7,500,000 worth of debt. He had convinced her to start a business with him. He had her co-sign a mortgage loan. He didn't pay the mortgage for months. He hid the past due notices, so she had no idea that she was even in debt. Oh. And then they came collecting after he left.
How much was that?
Almost $1 million.
Fucking A.
Yeah. Another woman named Sandy said that they were engaged after a few months of dating, and then he became physically abusive to her, and she was actually afraid for her life. She said he, at one point, threw her down to the ground, he kicked her, and he hit her in the head. And she went to the police, and he was actually charged and convicted with domestic abuse.
Good.
And that was in 2015. But very often, there was no legal consequences for his actions. He would just take whatever money he could and he would move on to the next con. And he was swindling these women out of their life savings, but law enforcement seemed to mainly not care. And they would say things like, "You should have known better, honey," or "I hope you learned your lesson, sweetie."
Oh, God.
It sucks. It's so shitty. And he just continued to rip women off. He racked up like 10 different social security numbers. He had 43 phone numbers. He is on the phone constantly juggling women. I'm like, dude, just get a fucking job. There's an easier way to make a living.
There has to be an easier way to make a living. That has to be exhausting because you can't screw up.
Yeah. I don't understand it, but he's not somebody I want to understand, to be honest. But so thanks to Lisa's blog, a lot of these women started finding out about each other and then they started supporting each other. And that's what this documentary is mainly about, is about like how these women started working together to catch him. And one of the things they did was they started piecing together Scott's pattern of behavior. like across all of his relationships. And most of the time he was juggling a lot of these women at the same time, hence the like 43 different phone numbers. And it turned out that he would also like borrow details of the lives from the women he was seeing when he was like targeting a new woman. So like if he started dating a woman who had a sister named Nicole, then when he would meet another woman, he would have a sister named Nicole. He would start reusing those details. And one woman said that in the beginning, he was very loving and he would bring me roses all the time and all that like old fashioned courtship type stuff. And then there would come a point in the relationship where he would change. This was true for everyone. They said that at a certain point, he becomes controlling and mean and aggressive. And then he would, that's when he takes money and he leaves. So they needed some help to catch him. So they recruited this bounty hunter and her name is Carla Campbell.
Yay.
And she's fucking badass. She's like older, chain smokes, and she is so sickened by him. She is repulsed that she took the case pro bono.
Good for her, Carla.
And she is a breakout star of this documentary. And I do think people should go watch it because it is really, really interesting. And I think that she is so awesome at, like, she's just not a bullshitter. She's a straight shooter. And I love that she wanted to help, that she was like, who treats women like this? She was like, fuck this guy. They get help from Carla. And they also got help from the directors of the documentary series. Because like halfway through filming, the filmmakers, Heidi Ewing and Rachel Grady, they actually hired private detectives in different cities to help find Smith. And I have a quote for why they did that. It says, "It seemed just wrong and lame to sit around and watch these women try to put the resources together the best they could when they have full-time jobs and kids. We had the resources of Showtime. We have smarts. We have a team. And we're like, let's go find this guy.
Yeah, and stop him from committing crimes. Yeah, yes.
Exactly. And they're like, we joined what we decided to call the Revenge Squad.
I love this Revenge Squad.
So, by the way, these women also did the documentaries Jesus Camp and One of Us, and they're both on Netflix. So if you want to check those out, please do. So they got some outside help, which is great. One of the things I love in the documentary, too, is these women would, they had such support for each other. There was never this, like, you stay away from my man kind of attitude. You know,
it was. Take them.
Yeah, there was this, like, when they would find out that he had a new woman in his life, they would try to find out everything they could about this woman, and they would contact her and warn her, you know, about what he could do. And very often these women were like, I knew something wasn't right.
Right.
And they leave. So if you learn anything from this podcast, it's trust your gut, ladies. Trust your gut. In 2018, even though he was on parole and he wasn't supposed to be leaving the county, he did, because
he's the coward of the county.
Exactly. He's the coward of the county.
Kenny Rogers. That's
Kenny Rogers. He went into hiding, but thanks to the Revenge Squad, they were able to track him down. At one point, they track him down to the Crab Kings, and Carla is fucking dying in the documentary. She's laughing. So she's like, I can't believe it. He's fucking crab. She keeps going off about it, and there's like a Facebook page for Crab Kings, and he's in some of the photos, and she's like, you have to be fucking kidding me. It's hilarious. So anyway, they track him down, they call the police, and he was arrested for violating probation, and he pled guilty to identity theft, and he got a whopping 10 months in jail.
Oh, for fuck's sakes.
Ooh, 10 months.
Do you know how long it takes to untangle your life when somebody does that to you?
Yeah.
That's a fucking pittance. That's sentence. I call bullshit.
I do too. It is bullshit. There was an affidavit, according to like some of the court papers, they ask him like point blank, how many times have you been married? And he says, probably 5 times. And they found 11 marriage certificates. 11. And that's what they know about, by the way. There's probably more that they don't know about. So in the final episode of Love Fraud, the filmmakers, they actually get to interview Smith, because of course, of course he's going to say yes, because he's a narcissist. So he can't wait to talk about himself. And the interview of the episode is like 20 minutes of just complete, utter bullshit. It'll make your blood boil. It is like someone who takes absolutely no responsibility for his actions. He's the victim. You know, he just wants to be loved and needed. And this is all a witch hunt. And he, yeah, I'm the real victim. And he even says, just like the president, he's talking about Trump. He says this, he lies throughout the interview, even when confronted with facts. And he even at one point says that, like, he has all these nicknames, like, I'm a really successful guy. People call me Richie Rich and Big Daddy. And I'm like, nobody calls you that. And I love this part. So the filmmakers in an interview said that Smith told them that his favorite book is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Mm-hmm.
They said that he had the audacity to read parts of the book to them, his favorite chapters. He was mansplaining to these two successful filmmakers.
You know who else?
How to be successful.
Stephen. It's like, it's the inspiration for like a lot of serial killers. I mean, yeah, it's just about getting what you want out of life and how to manipulate people.
Yeah. This dude is literally in prison in a jumpsuit, reading from this book to two women who are not in prison, who are successful.
What a successful life I have.
Yeah. What a fucking loser. So when he got out of prison, because he got out, you know, 10 months later, he went right back to it. Like, mm-hmm. conning new women. And the documentary ends with him and his latest victim. And I do want to end it like kind of on some good news, because he is out there and he is still doing this, by the way.
Is he single? No, just kidding.
Yeah. Hey. As someone who's recently found herself in the dating pool, I find this to be absolutely terrifying. But here's some good news. So after Love Fraud came out, a woman whose sister was living with Smith reached out to the filmmakers and said that he has been trying to keep her sister away from her family, that he's controlling the phone, the TV. They only watch old movies. She's not allowed to see anybody. And she asked the filmmakers, is he dangerous? And they said yes. And the sister was able to get her sister away. So that relationship ended. Another woman reached out after she saw the first episode, and she was with him at that moment. And then she reached out to Carla, the bounty hunter, and left. And then apparently Carla has been getting multiple calls from women who are with Smith, and like, she helps them get away. I'm like, Carla's a star. So that website, Scott the Crook, it's linked in our show notes. It is still active. They are still tracking him. He's still doing these things. Recent comments on the website say that most recently he was working at an RV dealership in the Kansas area, but he got laid off during COVID.
Also, when somebody saw the fucking documentary.
I would hope more people would see it at this point. The women who are actually in the documentary too, they don't love that he only got 10 months. But the documentary itself has been really helpful for them. And they said it's helped them find more people and help them process what they've gone through. And they said that it's helped a lot of people in their life. They say a lot of them, like their fathers and their brothers and their brother-in-laws and stuff, they weigh in and say that they were stupid, right, for falling for this. And that they can point to this documentary and people are watching it, and a lot of other women are coming out and saying, this happened to me too.
Right.
And they're getting a lot of positive feedback that way and being thanked for like telling their stories. And I love that these women, there's no shame in, I mean, what happened happened and it sucks. And they preyed on you. He preyed on them because they were lonely. And who doesn't want to be told that someone loves them and thinks they're beautiful and wants to help them with their problems? And we all want to hear shit like that.
Right. That's every rom-com exists.
Yeah.
He's
a narcissist. He's a sociopath. Of course he could do it and get away with it. They're not stupid. They're smart women. It's just,
they got manipulated.
Yes, exactly. My heart breaks for them. And like I said, I know that that money doesn't sound like a lot of money to people, but if it was your money, it's a lot of money.
It's fucking out. Yeah, it is. And it's hard. You know what? You lose that much. It's hard to get it back. It's hard to save in these economic times.
Exactly.
It's very hard to save $100,000. Let's just say.
Like, I have nothing but sympathy for these women and what they've gone through. And like I said, the website is in the show notes. So you should definitely go check it out because he's a real piece of work. And you could see a photo and go, really? Really?
But how old is he?
He's like 50.
And he's based in Kansas?
Yeah, he's in Kansas. Right. He's conning his way all over Kansas. So Kansas listeners, watch Love Fraud. Warn each other. Help each other out. But that is our creep. That is Richard Scott Smith.
Excellent.
The Love Fraud.
Excellent work, Sonia.
Thank
you. That
was
amazing. What an asshole.
Such an asshole.
Well, I was getting my hair did the other day, and I was watching on Netflix a documentary, and it featured a non-creep. So I thought, why don't we flip it around and have a documentary, but not about an asshole? Turns out there's some controversy about it, but it was, the documentary is called Bob Ross, Happy Accidents, Betrayal, and Greed. Robert Norman Ross, he was born 1942. He was the host of The Joy of Painting, which was on in America on PBS for many, many years. He was in the Army for a while. He was based in Anchorage, Alaska. He learned how what's called wet on wet painting, which is you wet the board. You put like a layer there and then you paint on top of it. And Bob got so good at it, he could make a painting in under 30 minutes. And he just started locally, you know, regional PBS stations, and then he got picked up and he got bigger and bigger and bigger. I remember in the 80s, the 90s, he was on PBS. I didn't watch the show, but I know a lot of people who did, especially my stoner friends, like they could watch for hours. He had this lovely voice and just very calming, and he would just talk about, these are the fluffy clouds, and let's have some trees. And he made it sound just so lovely.
If you have the Calm app, they've taken some of the sounds from his shows and put it on the Calm app.
Are you kidding?
No.
He worked very hard on it. He also worked on his hair. That was a perm. And he hated it after a while because it just got to be a lot of upkeep. That's what perms do. But he would paint these things, and he got very popular. People realized that, because I'm one of those people that's like, I can't paint. I have no talent. I could barely handle Photoshop, you know, much less drawing or anything like that. And his whole thing was, no, you can. You just have to learn some techniques. Mm-hmm. And he was so warm and welcoming and inclusive that his audience just became this just huge mass of people. And then he would go to these events and teach people, and hundreds of people would show up, and they all would have paintings with them. And I'm saying, like, kids to old people, black, white, just every background, like just everybody super adored this guy. And he helped bring the joy of painting around the world. Even MTV had a little thing. Remember, he would do those MTV clips. I mean, this is when we all of a sudden we loved irony, like that's our generation. But he just was this really warm, lovely person. He loved his fans. He wanted to make painting for everybody, wanted art to be available to everybody, which is really, really noble. He sold his own paints and brushes. Unfortunately, he was a very heavy smoker, and he died of cancer. He was in 1995. He was only 52 years old.
Oh, man. That's so young.
Very, very young. And then he had three wives. His spouse in the middle from 1977 to 1992, she died in 1992. She also had cancer.
Ugh.
And then he remarried just before he died. Because the people that he was in business with, he was worried they would take over everything.
Yes.
And it turns out they did.
That sucks.
And it sucks because Bob's son, who was with him this whole journey, he would be on TV all the time. He would lead workshops. He was left out of it.
That sucks.
Yeah, it totally sucks because after Bob dies, there's coffee mugs and calendars mm-hmm. and all kinds of things that are from Bob Ross. And it would be nice to think that his family is making money from that. Melissa McCarthy and her husband are the executive producers behind this documentary. The director, everybody said they tried to reach out to this new, I don't have their names in front of me, I'm sorry, but the people that own it now, because they'd known Bob for years and years and years, they're really pissed off because they're saying, oh, no, it's not true. It's a hit job. I don't believe that. I think it seems like, but Steven's okay. His son's okay.
That's good.
He's teaching on his own. And I think this is a good place for him. Like he's going to get more people to go to his shows. It seems like it's such a relaxing pastime.
It is. Yeah.
You paint, don't you?
I go to those paint nights that they do sometimes. Pre-COVID, there used to be something called paint nights and you could go and like have a cocktail or not. You could just have Coke or whatever. And somebody will walk you through a painting. And I found it very relaxing to go. Like you get very focused on what you're doing. It's very easy to like kind of let everything else just fall away. Mm-hmm. And then you have like a really fun painting at the end that maybe isn't as great as the one that they did, but you made it yourself.
And yeah, of course.
I have no artistic ability at all. Like when I draw with my son, people will be like, oh, did Calvin make this? And I'll be like, that one was me. That's my rainbow. Like, you know, I have like none, you know, and even I could like make one that looked like it looked like what it was supposed to look like. It's fun.
He would teach that to people. Like I said, yeah. People would say, I cannot draw. He goes, I'm going to teach you how to make some trees. This is a mountain and we're going to make some trees. And it's like the way he describes, you're like, oh, that's all that is. It's just brush strokes. That's yeah. all that is. And it just like, oh, well, that feels, I see people doing it. I live near Prospect Park and I see people like have their own little paint set and they just look so happy and content
yeah.
with what they're doing. But Bob Ross is a big part of that. He really brought that
absolutely.
Out. And I totally applaud that. I'm sorry that it's kind of a shit show now, but he is definitely not a creep. So that's our not creep this week. Bob Ross, who I hear has become a star around the world, especially during COVID. A lot of places are replaying his videos because people started staying home and mm-hmm. painting. And so yeah. he's gotten big all over again. And if you're interested, it's the Netflix show, a documentary, Bob Ross, Happy Accidents, because that's what he used to say when you make, because he would do mm-hmm. a painting live, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And if he screwed up, he'd be like, oh, that's a happy accident. You know, he just had this cheerful way of talking about it. Happy Accidents, Betrayal, and Greed. That's our not creep this week, Bob Ross.
Good pick, Margot.
Thank you. Thank you so much. If you like the sound of our voices, and why the hell wouldn't you? Good God, the cackles and the nasal, it's everything. We bring you everything. One of our reviews, so somebody wrote to me and said that she has a witch's cackle, and it's triggering when we make fun of our own cackles, but... We also co-host a show called Dorking Out. And Sonia, what are we going to be dorking out about next?
We are continuing our Chicago movies this month. And next is Adventures in Babysitting.
It's the best.
I haven't seen it in a long time. I'm really looking forward to this one. It's going to be fun, as always.
Be sure to follow us on social media. We do have a private Facebook group. You do have to ask to join, but that's the way we keep it asshole free. And it's a good place to hang out. Follow us on Twitter at CreepPod. Also Instagram, we're at What a Creep Podcast. Our email is whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. We love it when you use the Annie Potts kiff. We got one from the Ghostbusters when you're giving us suggestions for creep and for non-creeps. And especially if you're in the Facebook group, we'd love your suggestions for non-creeps because that sometimes is the toughest mm-hmm. part of the show. And Sonia, where can they find you?
You can find me at thesoniashow.com and The Sonia Show on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. Where can people find you, Margot?
You can find me on social media at Brooklyn Fitchick, mostly for Twitter and Instagram. And my site is brooklynfitchick.com. And in the meantime, everybody, happy accidents, fluffy clouds, think good thoughts, and don't be a creep.
Don't be a creep.
Thank you for listening to us talk about Creeps. You can follow us at What a Creep Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But don't follow us too closely.
You can email us your creepy stories at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com.
But please keep your dick pics to yourself.